Radio.
It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey everybody, you missed me singing that song. I didn't do a very good job, so you didn't miss much. All right, this is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to Swap Shop. And we do this every week on Thursday late in the afternoon, getting you ready for the weekend garage sales and stuff like that, and the flea markets and the holiday bazaars. Mouse not working. The way we do this, you call in, you say, "Hi, Glenn, I've got a wind chime I'd like to sell. And I'd like to sell it for $10. And call me at," and you give a phone number. And then we try to get somebody to buy it from you. They'll call you up and make an arrangement to come over and see it. And if they like it, they'll give you the money for it. Or if you're looking for something, you can call me up and say, "I'm looking for water skis," and give your phone number, and people will give you a call if they have water skis that they're trying to sell. Or if you have a bazaar or you have an event or a yard sale or something like that that you're trying to announce to people, give us a call and tell us about that as well. And you can also write us if you care to. We have several things I'm going to read off here. Notes that people have brought in or sent in about events that are going on, nonprofit events. We don't really do this, to make you money. But if you have a nonprofit event, you can send us a note and send it to WWGH. You can put on the side of that Swap Shop if you want to, or just WWGH 523 South Prospect, Marion, Ohio 43302. That's 523 South Prospect, Marion, Ohio 43302, and we'll read that on the air for you. We have a few still left. This is the last announcement, because I think it's the 30th, isn't it? Yes, it is the 30th. This is the last announcement for the Tiffany Flea Market that's going on up at the Seneca County Fairgrounds. And that'll be going on October 2nd and 3rd. Now, Saturday the 2nd, it'll go from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And on the 3rd, it'll go from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's Saturday and Sunday. Free admission. Free admission. They have inside and outside places, so come rain or shine, it'll be going on. They do ask that you not bring pets to the area, but go on up there and take a look at what they have. It says they have, they're handicapped accessible. They have between 300 and 450 dealers per show, between 5,000 and 10,000 customers per show. So it sounds like a great place to go and find some stuff. Fred Malone brought in a note that reminding people that they're having their meet and dine with the presidents of the United States on Saturday, November 6th. Now, I know that's a month away, but listen to this. They've already sold out of their VIP tickets, so it's pretty popular. It's going to be on Saturday, November 6th from 5:30 to 8:30, and it's going to be out at the Dayspring Wesleyan Church, which is out there on 95 across from Menards, and they're going to have, let's see, how many are they going to have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 presidents and one first lady at the event. They're going to have four presidents who will have speaking engagements. That's George Washington, Martin Van Buren, Warren Harding, and John Kennedy. And then they have the other presidents that will be sitting around at different tables so you can talk directly to those. Now, of interest this time, I think this is the first time they've actually had a first lady at the Meet the Presidents dinner, and they're going to have Barbara Bush there. She was the wife of George H.W. Bush, and so that'll be kind of interesting as well. And the Master of Ceremonies will be James Cox, and he was the governor of Ohio, 46th and 48th governor of Ohio. And we're also going to have Mary Ellen Withrow out there. So it ought to be a very good day, a very good evening. And the food is, I will guarantee you, I know the people that are doing the food, beyond a doubt, they are second to none. Also, let's see here. On the 5th of October, boy, it's hard to think, September, October, we're coming into October, on the 5th of October, starting at 5 p.m., they're going to have a Wonderful World of Pawpaws out at the Tallgrass Trail, and it'll be right there at the trailhead, you know, I don't remember the name of the road that goes right to that, but right behind Whirlpool. Anyway, out there at the trailhead of Tallgrass Trail, come out and learn about that unique plant. Now, it's, believe it or not, it is quite delicious. You don't want to eat it when it's not mature. It has to be ripe. All right. Also, on Friday, Friday, October 1st, there's going to be free fresh food distribution from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. At the, it's going to be done by the food pantry, and it'll be at a drive-through at 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road, down in Waldo. So that's at 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo. If you need information about that, 740-726-2770. 740-726-2770. And that's free food distribution. I was trying to see if they tell what type, but they do not have it listed on here. But it's being sponsored by LSS Food Pantries. Okay, that gets us caught up on the stuff that's been sent in to us. If you have something, give us a call. And the way you do it is you call the radio station here. We'll be live on the air. The phone number, you ready? Got your pencil ready? 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. As is our usual thing, we'll be talking about something, you know, trivial or history or stuff like that while the show's going on. So if you want to call in, just call in anytime. But we'll be talking away, as we always do. And today I thought maybe we ought to talk about, you know, back to school stuff. So I have to find it again. Here it is. You know, all the kids are back in school, or at least mostly back in school. I guess some of them are going kind of a hybrid version of that, but And from what I understand, many of them are requiring masks. I'm pretty certain that Harding is requiring masks. I'm not sure about the other schools. Initially, they weren't going to, but I think one or two of them have decided to require masks for the students. So I thought maybe we'd talk about school. On my little walk that I do most days, I go by a grade school, or grade school, and boy, they're busier than one-arm paper hangers, some of those kids. And I go by, and I get to see moms and dads waiting in line to pick them up. If I go by late, you know, like 2:30 or quarter to 3, something like that, I have to be careful because those people are driving pretty quick to get their kids out of there. But anyway, that school is back in session. So let's talk a little bit about schools. You know, the oldest public school in the United States is Boston's Latin School. That was founded way, way back in 1635. Boston's Latin School. Some of the alumni from there: Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, Samuel Adams. They've had some pretty well-known alumni from that area. And that school was known for forever about its quality of education. For centuries, an elementary education was all you needed, by the way. You know, if you had an eighth grade education, you were a highly educated person. Or a sixth grade education, for that matter. This changed about 1840, I guess. There were reformers that wanted to get taxes going to fund schools. And about 1840, they decided that they needed a free education. And I think, I don't have it listed here, but I really think the free education was not initially through high school. I think it was only through grade school or junior high. Now it has gone through high school. And one of the legs of the Build Back Better bill that is being maybe or maybe not passed is it'll go through the first 2 years of community college, which would be wonderful for our young people. I'm not sure if it's going to pass or not, but that's what we're looking at. It would be really neat to have people get free education from preschool, even is added in that as well. Preschool up, you know, age 3 through age, 20? Something like that. We could have some pretty smart cookies here. I had to work really hard to get my 9 years of college in. Now, 9 years, 3 of those years I was in the Army, but it did take me a long time to get through college. I was kind of lazy. So, by the way, if you're interested in selling anything in Swap Shop, give us a call, 740-383-9944. Remember that number, 740-383-9944. Beautiful day out there. It'd be a nice day to have a garage sale this weekend, wouldn't it? Well, I guess there's going to be some precipitation later in the weekend, but maybe tomorrow and the next day. I don't know. And if you're going to have one of those, give us a call. Tell us where you're going to be, and we'll try to get people to come your way. All right. Prior to 1930, most Americans only completed 8 years of school. And that's kind of what I was mentioning. But during the Great Depression, communities had very little work to offer, so they began enforcing a high school education because of the Great Depression. That's a good thing that happened out of the Great Depression, right? So they forced kids to go to high school. So teenagers, that kept them out of the workforce and left the jobs available for the older folks that needed to feed a family. So they kind of forced high school education on it. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Anyway, at one time, geography determined when students attended class. In small rural areas, schools went from December to March and from May to August so that the kids could help on the spring planting and the harvesting. And then urban areas, schools were off in the summer when it got hot and crowded in the classroom and stuff like that. And that's kind of the way I went. I don't know about you. I don't know. My grandchildren out in North Carolina have kind of a broken up schedule of school like that initial one. I don't think they're doing it because moms and dads go out and plant and harvest. I think they do it because they have so many kids. This area that my daughter lives in, it's called Fuquay-Varina. And the area that they live in, when she first started moved there, you could fire a gun off and not have to worry about hitting anything. Now you have a trouble moving your elbows without hitting something. It's just overwhelming, the amount of population growth in that area. So anyway, nice area, and obviously a lot of people think it's a nice area because they're all moving there. Grandpa and Grandma are not going to move down by, now I'm not telling this out, I'm not telling you something I haven't told my grandkids. We're not going to move down there by them because of, well, a house down there would cost twice what my house is worth up here. So anyway, that's a problem. As a matter of fact, every place that my three kids live in, Fuquay-Varina, North Carolina, Worthington, Ohio, and Ojai, California, all three of those places, you can't buy... I don't think I could ever cobble together enough money to buy a small house in any of those places. They're extremely expensive. So anyway, let me get back here on the announcements that we got that were sent in, mailed in, brought in, whatever. The Tiffin Flea Market being held at the Seneca County Fairgrounds. Up by Tiffin, and that's going to be the last one of the year, is October 2nd and 3rd. On the 2nd, it runs from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. On the 3rd, it runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's Saturday and Sunday. It's free of charge, doesn't cost you a dime, and it'll be open rain or shine. They have indoor as well as outdoor areas, apparently. They request that you not bring your pets with you, okay? Sounds like a great opportunity. They have, not only is it handicap accessible, but they have like 300 to 450 dealers at the shows. They usually have somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 customers at the shows. So it sounds like a happening place, doesn't it? I might try to talk my wife into going up there. We haven't gone yet, and that might be a place that we might like to go. All right, we have a meet and dine with the president's event that's being put on by the Marion County Historical Society, and that's going to be on November 6th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. It's going to be at the Day Spring Wesleyan Church, which is across the street from Menards out there on 95. And they have sold out of their VIP tickets, and they have a few general seating tickets still available. They have a lower... The general seating is $32 a ticket. The general seating for children, and that's age 5 to 12, is $20. Now, they do recommend that you not bring children that are younger than 5 or younger. It's a long night, and it's probably something they're not interested in. They're going to listen to four speakers, George Washington, Martin Van Buren, Warren Harding, and John Kennedy. Those four presidents are going to be speaking. Now, obviously, they didn't bring him back from the dead. They are people that look, sound, and know everything about those four presidents. And then they're going to have other presidents sitting around at the tables. It's really kind of a neat thing, including a First Lady, Barbara Bush, will be there. So it might be an interesting event to go to. James Cox, the 46th and 48th governor of Ohio, will be the master of ceremonies, and Mary Ellen Withrow, and we all know who she is, the 40th treasurer of the United States and a native of Marion and a wonderful lady, she's going to be speaking there as well. So that'll be an event to not miss. All right, and James Anderson came in and left this for us on the 5th of October, starting at 5 p.m. They're doing a program out at the Tallgrass Trail. It's called Wonderful World of Pawpaws. And you can go out and learn about the pawpaws and maybe take a taste of them. As a matter of fact, he said he invited me to come out so I could have my taste of pawpaws. He didn't bring any in to me this year. They're quite good, surprisingly enough. They aren't a handsome-looking fruit, but they are quite good. And they're all different sizes, and they have little brown bruises on them, but they all taste the same. Also, there is a free fresh fruit. Boy, they shouldn't use alliteration at the beginning of things like this. Free fresh food distribution being sponsored by LSS Food Pantries, Hunger Relief and Family Services. It's going to be on Friday, this coming Friday. I think it's this coming, yes, October 1st, this coming Friday, from 10 to 1 p.m., head out to the, they have drive-through locations, 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo. That's 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road down in Waldo. If you have questions, call 740-726-2770. That's 740-726-2770 for that event. And I think that's all we have right now. I hope you were able to get to one or more of those events and help those folks out. We haven't had any calls today. That's all right. We will continue to talk about facts about school and that sort of thing. You're listening to Glenn Coble here on WWGH in Marion, Ohio. 107.1 FM. We were kind of waiting for phone call sometime during the day from the Geraldo Rivera people. Scott is going to get Geraldo on here, one way, by hook or by crook. And we were kind of expecting to get a call from his producer, but we haven't gotten it yet. But if we get it, we will talk to him and maybe arrange something for Geraldo to come down here and Scott to go up to. He's out of Cleveland now, is where his show comes from. Excuse me, I had to turn the pot down because I had to cough. I'm getting a little verklempt, as they say. Must have gotten some dust kicked up when I went into the back room just a few minutes ago during the break. Okay, let's go back and talk about our education. The reason why I decided to do that today is because, you know, our kids are back in school. And kind of interesting, some of the things about school. did you know that Crayola produces nearly 3 billion? That's billion with a B. Again, I had to sneeze. I'm sorry. 3 billion crayons each year. That's an average of 12 million daily. That's a lot of crayons. Now, you know, there are some of those restaurants where they hand out a little pack of 3 or 4 crayons to kids so that they can draw on their placemats, that sort of thing. I'm sure that is included in those numbers, but still, 3 billion crayons a year. The average pencil can write 45,000 words or draw a line 35 miles long. Now, you're going to be down to the nubby nub if you're going to draw that line. I'll guarantee you that will be an awful long, an awful short pencil by the time you get to the end of 35 miles. Somehow or other, my phone is not being cooperative here. Here we go. I am at the end of my my battery. That might be probably the problem. Before the invention of erasers, you know what eraser is, right? Some of you probably don't use pencils anymore, do you? A lot of people, everything's done on computers and stuff like that. But before the invention of an eraser, a rolled-up piece of white bread was used to erase graphite. Now, right, you know, erasers are, I think they're rubber of some sort, and they will take the graphite off the page. Sometimes, I remember, if it was really hard to get it off the page, I'd kind of wet the eraser. But what that ends up doing is just taking the top layer of the paper off. Sometimes it can go all the way through, which is probably not good. By the time a child turns 10, he will have worn down approximately 730 crayons. Now, Santa used to bring all my kids crayons for Christmas in their stocking. I'm not sure I ever saw them. Oh, yes, my eldest son was quite a drawer. So I saw him using crayons. I'm not sure I saw the other two using crayons, probably to poke each other. And each kid will have spent at least 28 minutes per day coloring. That is a bygone era. I'm absolutely certain it is not the way it is anymore. I did like coloring when I was a kid. I preferred watercolor, though, but that was really messy, and Mom didn't like me doing watercolor. She preferred that I use crayons. Watercolors, you get water on the kitchen table, which then left a white mark on the table, and then you got in deep trouble if you did that. And you absolutely did not set your glass of water or Pepsi or whatever you had. You absolutely did not set that down on the table unless you had a coaster. In the color census of 2000, blue was voted the favorite crayon color, while tan, tumbleweed, and spring green was voted the least favorite color. There was a burnt sienna. That was one I remember. Do you remember burnt sienna? I think I remember. I don't know what it looked like. I think it was reddish brown, something like that. But burnt sienna, I always remembered because I just like that name, burnt sienna. But I don't remember ever seeing tumbleweed. Spring green, I think I remember. Tan, of course. But the most favorite color was blue. Just plain old blue. Yep, that was the favorite color. 6% of kids ages 6 through 11 and 11% of kids ages 12 through 17 will repeat at least one grade in school. Ooh, that when I was in school, if you were held back a year, boy, that was a red mark, and everybody thought of you and said bad things about you, right? Even though it's probably not fair. A lot of kids, my youngest son teaches kids that have problems like that, or learning disabilities, and I'm real proud of what he does like that. He also is a vintner, so he makes wine, which makes him not so know what he's doing occasionally, but not when he goes and teaches school. But anyway, I remember kids repeating a grade. They were held back. That's what we called it. Now my sister and several other people that I know, well, not several, but some other people I know, was not held back. She was bumped ahead. My sister graduated from high school when she was 16, not 17 or 18. She was a smarty pants in our class. Remember that term, smarty pants? Yeah, well. Hey, you're listening to Swap Shop. We haven't had any swaps today. That's okay. We enjoy ourselves anyway. But we do have some things that are going on. The Tiffin Flea Market up at Seneca County Fairgrounds going to be on Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. or 3 p.m., depending on which of those 2 days. Free admission. And stop on up there and check that out. The Meet and Dine with the President's event put on by the Marion County Historical Society Saturday, November 6th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. At Dayspring Wesleyan Church. And they are all out of VIP seating, but they do have general admission. Go out there and listen to and talk with all sorts of presidents, 13 or 14, and a first lady, Barbara Bush. Also out at the Tall Grass Trail, they're going to have Wonderful World of Pawpaws on Saturday. Is it Saturday? No, on the 5th, starting at 5 p.m. out at the Tall Grass Trail. And free food distributions down at 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo. And that's going to be on Friday, October 1st. Head on down that way if you're in need of some fresh, free food. All right? Sounds like a good idea. The average salary for public school teachers in 2008 was $50,758. And for principals, in the same year, the average salary was $97,486. That was back in 2008, so I'm certain, oh, I hope it's gone up a little bit since then. There are close to 8 million teachers in the United States. I would venture to say since this survey was taken a couple years ago, there are probably over 8 million teachers in the United States now. And I have several in my family that were teachers and very proud of the teachers in the United States. Yeah, they're good and bad and all sorts of things, but I was a substitute teacher for a couple of years, and I'm really proud of that time. I did some good things. I did some bad things. I think I've told you the bad things. The good things were I had an opportunity to help move young people's education. Mainly, I worked in high schools, but I did do grade school and junior high. And they always put me, being the only male that was a substitute teacher, they always gave me the special ed class. Don't ask me why, it was always the male. there were always little problems in the special ed classes. But I enjoyed doing it. Didn't make a lot of money at it, but it kept me going when I was struggling to find work after athletics dried up on me. 18 years of athletics, and they decided a new president comes to town and says, we're going to get rid of that group. Anyway, we got her done. Americans spent $8.5 billion to back-to-school clothing. That's amazing. I wonder how much teachers spend on supplies. That's, you know, I don't even think they can write that off in taxes. I hate that idea that teachers have to pay for their own supplies. And I remember my wife and I volunteering to give, and we did give some supplies when we were younger. Not that we were making a lot of money, but we didn't mind, donating crayons or donating notepads and stuff like that, if we could. And when I was in businesses that had the opportunity to, they would, some of my businesses would provide people with pencils. I would try to get some of those to go to the schools in the area. But one of the things that we did was bookmarks. We did that for the library here in town through when I was working at the credit union. We supplied them to the library, and they supplied them out free of charge to people. I always liked that idea. It wasn't a huge thing, but I always liked that idea that people would use my bookmark that I helped design when they were reading. The tradition of giving apples to teachers dates all the way back to the 16th century in Denmark, when parents paid educators with food, since teachers couldn't live off their small salaries. My dad was a minister, and when I was very young, we had people provide us with plots of land where we could garden, and that was kind of part of our payment, because ministers were much like teachers back then. We didn't have ministers like we have now that have 80 acres and an jet airplane and stuff like that. But ministers back then, that they made probably about the same that teachers make, and that really helped us out. As a matter of fact, my mother would do a lot of green beans. Mom liked green beans. I haven't liked them to this day, but I like them okay, but it's not my favorite vegetable. But Mom would bag them up in little, like lunch bags, little brown lunch bags, and we would sell them for $1 a bag, or 50 cents a bag, or a quarter bag. It was probably more like a quarter of a bag of green beans that I would go door to door, and that was one of the ways that we helped supplement my father's minister's salary. It did help. I was always a little embarrassed to be the guy that had to go around, but being the youngest guy, moms would come to the door, "Oh, isn't he cute?" "Yeah, I'll give you a quarter for that bag." I don't know if they ever used them or not. They just wanted to be nice to a little boy that was coming around selling green beans. If they had looked out on the driveway, there was my mother driving me around. But anyway, it helped us. It helped us quite. And back then, she could drive around for quite a while on 25 cents, because that's what a gallon of gas cost. Let's see. The length of summer vacations varies among countries. In Ethiopia, the summer vacation is 12 to 15 weeks long. You can imagine why. Ethiopia is in Africa. Probably pretty darn hot. In Germany, students get only 6-week vacation during the summer. And they are noted for their strict learning ethic. And maybe that's why. And they had some pretty smart cookies themselves. School hours also differ. In some countries, like in Brazil, school runs from 7 a.m. to noon, because the kids go home and share their lunch with their family and are able to eat at home. In Mexico, students go to the school Monday through Friday, with elective classes being held on Saturdays. That's kind of cool. So if there's a class you want to have, you got to go back to school on Saturday. Now, when I was in school, Saturday was the was the they held class in the principal's office. It was for the bad kids. It was for the kids that did something wrong that week. All right, let's go back and we'll run down the we didn't have anybody call in, but that's okay. I'll run down the things that were sent in. You're listening to Swap Shop, and we're glad to do the service. A few things were sent in to us. Tiffin Flea Market out at the Seneca County Fairgrounds up north here. They're going to be... they're going to be on October 2nd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and October 3rd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then on the 3rd, which is Sunday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're open rain or shine, free admission. Please don't bring your critters, your pets and stuff like that. They have handicap accessible areas, actually the whole thing is handicapped accessible. They usually have between 300 to 450 dealers in the show, and they usually count on between 5 and 10,000 customers. So that's quite an event there at the Tiffin Flea Market in Seneca, at the Seneca County Fairgrounds. Also, we were talking about, don't forget the meat and dine with the Presidents of the United States. The event will be on November 6th. Got to get my glasses cleaned. Yeah, November 6th from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Day Spring Wesleyan Church out there east of town on 95. They're out of VIP tickets, but they do have some general admission tickets. Yeah, it's put on by the Marion County Historical Society. Oh, by the way, Fred wanted me to mention that the museum's hours at Heritage Hall now are Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4. That's the museum hours at Heritage Hall, which is three blocks from here. Their museum hours are Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4. And this meet and dine with the president, you can actually sit at a table with the president, talk to the president, and it'll be kind of fun. Master of ceremonies will be a former governor of Ohio, James Cox, and Marion Witherow, our very own. And she was the 40th treasurer of the United States. She's going to be a guest speaker, so that'll be kind of interesting. Don't miss out also on the 10th. The program out at the Tallgrass Trail is Wonderful World of Pawpaws. And then on the first Friday, which is tomorrow, October 1st, the first Friday of the month, there is going to be free fresh food distribution from 10 till 11 p.m. That'll be down at 6989 Waldo Delaware Road, down in Waldo. And they have a drive-through location down there, and you can go down there and... if you need some free fresh food, they'll have it for you. How's that sound? All right. Maybe one or two more items about the biggest school in the world, in terms of pupils, that is, number of kids, is the City Montessori School in Lucknow, India, which was established by the Gandhis in 1959, has more than 32,000 students. Holy cow, I hope they have a lot of classrooms. A study done by Yale University ranked the crayon as the number 18 on the list of the most recognizable smells. Crayon. Yeah, I remember the smell of that, don't you? Sure we do. 67% of kids say that they like school. That's pretty cool. Two-thirds of school kids like school. I liked school. I like the social part of it, probably more than the educational part of it, but I liked it just fine. Hey, thanks a lot for listening to Swap Shop. We'll be back on next week, same time, same station. And we really appreciate you listening to James Anderson, our naturalist, this morning in the first 2 hours. And we'll be back next week. Have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP